Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Robert Boggs, a media engineer turned IoT consultant who's taken his passion for technology and transformed it into real world impact, both commercially and in his own backyard. Robert's day job is with Alpha Omega Technology, helping customers deploy LoRaWAN and other LPWAN solutions at scale. But what sets him apart is how he's applied that same expertise to his rural village in eastern Germany. Through his initiative, Keine Funkt, Robert has built a model LoRaWAN network from the ground up, funded by grants, powered by community involvement, and aimed squarely at solving problems that matter, like heating inefficiencies and environmental monitoring. What makes Robert so effective is his ability to bridge two worlds. He's fluent in the language of engineers and makers, but he also speaks the local dialect of mayors, and mayors in Germany are called Bürgermeisters, but I didn't manage to sneak that in, as well as caretakers and neighbors. That rare mix of technical depth and human connection lets him listen, guide, and implement solutions that stick, whether it's a gateway on a church tower or a CO2 sensor on a kitchen table. He's got lessons for cities, for startups, and for every nerd who's ever wondered if they could make a difference. Let's dig in.
Robert, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me and that very, very polite Discord invite. Now I finally know how the Gristlekin looks like in real life. So, hi.
Yeah. Hey, okay, so when I was researching you, I saw it looked like a headline kind of want ad funny thing that said the translation from German to English was "Nerd in the Village Seeks Local Future."
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about that.
So my wife and I, we moved outside of a major city around here, and it is very rural around here. Mm-hmm. And so we had some troubles because we decided to not have kids. So there's not the aspect of meeting parents at school or something like that. So basically, the only thing that I found to be effective to help people here is being a nerd. It's like doing 3D printing, doing CNC stuff, doing like IoT sensors, for example. And that became my whole thing that I contribute to the village that I'm living at. And that is how I got to meet people and basically gain the trust of the local community. So yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's rad. And you come from a very different background. You're in the media, you're producing and working on films. I think you've had a couple of like credits that your name's in bright lights somewhere. And then you came into IoT. And instead of thinking you being a beginner was a disadvantage, you've leaned into it as an advantage. So walk me through how you're thinking about that.
So I'm thinking about it that in a way that if you consult somebody, you need to understand them, right? You need to understand where they're coming from, where they might struggle. And you have to set very different prerequisites for people that have no experience whatsoever. Like in the nerd community, somebody will say, yeah, just put up a Grafana and everybody knows what to do, and that you have to have a server where this thing is running and how to set it up and how to do authentication and stuff like that. But most of the time, people get tasked with, hey, look into the LoRaWAN thing that I saw online and figure out how we can use it. And those people call me. That is basically my job. And to know what they don't know yet is actually a big advantage because you can walk them through and you can listen to the problems they actually have and see what solutions you can put against those problems. So that is a huge advantage. But yeah, it was a transition for me because first I wanted to know everything in detail and, you know, fellow nerds understand that. I read a lot of documentation and I wanted to dig deep. And then I noticed, wait a minute, people are talking to me because I still understand them and I'm not that far away in nerd world already. And so, yeah, I leaned into that.
Yeah, very, very cool. And you and I are in a group in Discord together. I've watched what you do. If you're new to this, you've made a lot of progress really quickly. So good job. Let's see, when you're in the village or you're thinking about selling LoRaWAN as part of a service package, can you walk me through how you present that or what do you do? Like, what's the most compelling way that you explain how you'd use it?
Oh, the first thing I always look out for with customers is where's the biggest problem you're losing money right now without you noticing? I think somebody said it before on your podcast, and that should be the number one thing is to look where you can have an impact quickly. Because nobody wants to know about name servers and how the whole LoRaWAN payload works and all that stuff. What they want to see is not a pretty dashboard, but to be able to save resources, especially in small communities. Because in Germany, it's the case that smaller cities and communities, they don't have resources, they don't have personnel, and most of the time, they are basically bankrupt already. and they're just trying to get by. So adding anything on top of that would be breaking their neck. So there's a lot of old people involved. There's a lot of people involved that I don't want to encourage looking into that because they're probably gone in 2 or 3 years. So it's a demographic thing as well. But we're looking into things that they're doing right now and that could have an impact, like heating. We have a local meeting of basically the mayor or the equivalent in Germany here. And when I presented all of this, they looked at me and was like, so what do we do with this, right? It's nice that we have like sensors, but what can we do? And I pointed at their heating. And I was like, let's focus on that because you guys are heating up this very room we are sitting in every month for this meeting, right? Why don't automate it? Why don't have a schedule, heat that room up and back down again? And they were amazed by that. And that's the first thing we started with. So it's a very tangible, very direct thing. And a second suggestion that I have is the first IoT sensor should be something like this. I always have this on my desk. It could be anything, but it has a display and it's sitting on your desk and it's showing you something you can use. And my wife and I, because there's a lot of sensors here and some of them beep when the CO2 levels are rising. And my wife and I have a routine where she says, oh no, we stink. And then we just open the windows and basically let fresh air in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But this turns into something that you use daily, that you connect with, and then it's easier to add integrations or other sensors on top of that. So always start with something that's tangible, that's, like I said, on their desk, that they can see and interact with. Like humans need a big red button and something to happen if they press it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how you should start, ideally.
Got it. And for reference, for folks who are listening to this, you had shown me a small display. I don't know. I'd say that's 3 inches by 3 inches with a, I don't know, like temperature, humidity on there. So I can see how it's important. And I've had the same thing where, for me, the technology side of it is fascinating. But at the end of the day, if I want to show my wife and show her like, hey, this is cool, I've got to show her something.
Yes.
And it can't be like, just imagine that there's uplinks yeah. flying through the air. Yeah. They're going miles. And, you know, it's got to exactly. be like, hey, this is, here's the temperature, here's the humidity, here's why we don't have mold, here's why we have to be worried about it. Okay. And then walk me through what you did. So this is kind of funk that you're talking about, which is the name of the village. Am I getting that right?
You're totally right. It's a German wordplay because keiner means nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm saying nobody's interested in it. Keiner interessiert. You can do a lot of that in a German language. And it's started because it literally translates to nobody is transmitting.
Okay. And now it's Kleinfunk, right? It's like small.
Yeah, it's not small, actually. We're kind of a model village by now because I've been putting so much sponsorships and funding into this project by now that a lot of people are looking at it. I get calls daily from like Austria, Switzerland, France. People are asking about this because they see like it being a model for somebody not having resources, not having like a budget for it.
Yep.
And that kind of became my niche, I guess. Yeah.
Got it. How do you walk them through what you've done? Because you put some of your own money in and then you've also gotten grants.
Yes.
Is when they call you and they say, Robert, talk me through what you did. What do you tell them?
I usually tell them to look for grants first and look at a little bit of a broader spectrum because most of the times there is grants available, for example, for, how do I phrase this in English? It's Bürgernetz in Germany, which is like citizen networks, if you translate it word by word. It was meant to be so that you get public access to Wi-Fi. But I asked them, basically, are you focused on that technology? And they were like, no, it just has to be a network that is available to the public. And I was like, great, because LoRaWAN absolutely fits into that category.
Yeah.
So first step, look into grants and ask the people putting out those grants. It's a little bit of work, a little bit of digging, but it's very local. So I most of the time can't really help people with that. So you got to reach out where you are right now and see what resources you have. Then the second thing is you want to look for stakeholders that could benefit from it. For example, if there's like energy metering companies or could be your local fire brigade that is monitoring like ponds that they use for fighting fires, for example. And basically, the more stakeholders you get, the more momentum the project gets because you have something to work towards too. And then I always encourage people to get a gateway, any, I don't care, any gateway and any sensor they can put on their desk to get used to it and basically get it in their hands. In my work, I like to say everything starts with a gateway, and that is kind of true, but it's also kind of a step I want to push people past because they most often get hung up in that aspect of setting up a network, right? And they're like, we plan this network, and this has to be this and that, and there's black spots there. And I'm like, that's not what you're working on. That's the first thing you need to get past to actually start making impact with LoRaWAN or any network, basically. And so to not get hung up in that, I encourage them to get a gateway, get a sensor, get it done. It's basically from the media industry. I took that because somebody once said, oh, so what, you want to be a film director, right? Okay, here's the thing. Record with your phone, put your name on it, and just spell director your name. Now you're a director. You're a shitty director, but you got it done.
Yeah,
That's out of the way. Now you're starting your journey, basically. So that's the three things. Looking for local grants, getting your stakeholders involved early, because you might have to ask people to set up a gateway somewhere you don't have access to, right? So you want to get to know people early. Could be half a year, up to a year. There's a lot of long cycles involved if you're asking for permission. And the third is get something done, like get a gateway, get a sensor, put some information on a website and see how the process is. The more familiar you get with it, the easier it will be.
Got it. I mean, it sounds like you're running a startup that is beneficial to the community. Walk me through how you think about that. Is that this, it really is a startup and you're using startup skills in IoT?
I'm using startup skills because I was a founder before, but this is 100% voluntary work that I'm doing here at Kainafunk. I mean, I'm full-time employed at IoT Shop, right? So my job is to look for sensors and do consulting, stuff like that. But that's main work. What I do for smaller communities here and the skills I'm using has to be kind of tricky because people don't want to hear startup or they don't even want to hear the English word for network around here, right? I even localized the language around IoT to fit better into those communities because the thing is, where I am right now, second language is Russian and not English. So most people kind of have no connection to that. It's strange, right?
Yeah.
But every community has their language you need to speak to. Because if I would be waltzing in there with my IoT jargon, everybody would just look at me and be like, we didn't know what you're doing here.
Right.
So that is one of the skills that comes from a startup land is listening for problems. Not asking for problems, but listening for problems and basically evaluating what a product needs yourself. Because if you ask people what they want, they give you a list of things that they want, what they think they want. But you have to work out and hear what they really need and what makes the biggest impact. And that is, I think, a very specific startup skill that you need to master. And I also think that is because why my previous endeavor failed, because we didn't listen that well. We built a product that we liked, that was very great, that is to this day online and is working, but nobody needed it.
Right.
And that is kind of where all this interviewing comes from. I do a lot of phone calls. I do a lot of talking to people. Like I said, getting involved with them. And then you have to make a mental note, basically, and listen to the needs that you can address. And yeah, I think that's one of the most crucial startup skills that I've learned over the years. And also, there's obviously project management and the media part. You have to go out there and show people. There's a German proverb, which is do good and tell everyone about it. Tu Gutes und sprich drüber. Yeah, if there's no marketing about what you do, like opportunities like this podcast, for example, to speak about what you're doing, you have to take those and you have to have somebody up front who tells others what the benefits are, because otherwise there's the momentum will slowly die down and then you're alone and you have your own LoRaWAN. You can talk to your own sensors, but nobody's using it.
Yeah,
that is not what you want. You need to have like a workshop presence or get out there to local town meetings and tell people about it. Like basically carrying your own enthusiasm into the world is another skill that you really need to have there. I'm not saying you should promise things that you can't keep, like in a marketing way, but it's really talking about why you're engaged with the why. Yeah, I think I can reference Simon Sinek here with Start With Why. That's a great book for entrepreneurs as well as voluntary project like Kainafunk. Yeah.
I've got to ask, do you have any advice on building your listening skills? Are there questions that you always ask? Are there things that you listen for? Is there anything that would help someone listening to this improve their ability to listen to others?
Why would you want to have better listening skills would be my question. And that is also the advice in itself is be interested in what the other person is asking. Be interested why you want to know it. Like I just mirrored your question right there and threw it back at you because I want to know what's your motive, right? So listening is most often being interested in the view of the other participant in that conversation. So if I wouldn't care for your worldview, for example, right? If we weren't on a Discord and we would definitely share a lot of ideals why we do it, then there's no interest happening. And if you can develop an interest with any party, and I have lots of books on industrial complexes, like big machines and CNC machines and stuff like that. So I have easy access to, for example, industries that have big machines, because I'll get in there and get glowing eyes and asking about the machines and what they do and how they work, right? So developing interests and finding your own motivation, asking about your interests and honestly asking about it is probably the best way to listen to somebody, because you have the motivation to go in there and take on a topic that could be difficult. But by giving it a little spin with your own interest, I think that not only gives great conversations, but also you get information about the motives. And most often that is what sticks with people, right? You know why they do something. And it's always asking and listening for the why, because then things start to happen and to roll. We can talk about the project management details later, right? How to set everything up, but why should we do it? What is the mission, basically?
Got it. Okay. And you're really demonstrating what I think of as, and I'll speak for all Americans, what we kind of love the most about the European side is that there's this real give a shit about what you're doing, about the work you're doing.
Yeah.
And maybe that's making it a little bit too stereotypical, but it's super cool to see that you've got this full-time job it's IoT-shop.de. So your
data is correct.
Yeah. You're helping people figure out what sensors to employ for their project on a more commercial level. And then you're taking that expertise and basically injecting it into your local economy.
You could say I've made my job into a hobby because most often it's the other way around, but by kind of being forced to leave my industry, right? I had a little, how could you say? We had a hard time with the startup, right?
Sure.
It was bad in Germany in the film industry. And then I was forced to do something else. And it kind of fascinated me because if you're doing films, you have like years until it's done. There's years of progress and working on a film until it's in a cinema or on DVD or Netflix. And then you see it, your name scrolls past you and you're like, that's it. Okay. And you don't really feel an impact, right? With IoT, yeah, it's the other way around. Like you can have immediate impacts. I've heard stories on your podcast, for example, of people almost saving lives, right? Because
the old Dean Marsh, yeah. That's
yeah,
a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fascinating to me because having real world consequences directly after you finish a product, like I can see what I'm doing in a dashboard immediately after I've set it up. And that is something you don't really have in film. Film is great and you have like a cultural impact, right? Because it's an art form in itself and you can have like inspiring ideas that you carry with that. But it's not direct. It's not like a craft. And I was looking for something to have impact on, and IoT is definitely something you can have impacts on. And the best part is most of the time you have impacts that are automated. So once you set it up, it keeps on giving without you needing to interfere. So yeah, that is definitely an aspect I very cherish to this day. And that is also why I made it a hobby as well, because I saw, okay, it's great that I work for big cities. It's great that I can help people with a budget, but really it was looking at my own hometown and being like, what would the benefits here be, right? If it's really working, if it's really fixing something or solving a problem, it should work here in an environment that somebody with no budget, with no prior experience can have an impact as well. And it works. It takes a lot of energy. I know that. It's not like for someone working like a 60-hour shift a week and then doing it on the side. But I think there's a nerd in every village. And if you can find that nerd and encourage them and give them the tools to understand it, they most often rise up to basically feed a whole community with knowledge. And the more we share that, the more clients I actually also get for the main business, which is exciting as well, because somehow they need to get the hardware, right? And I'm not pushing them to that. I'm most often just being myself and consulting on what I experienced. And most of the people buying from our shop are asking questions that require experience, that require me to having opened the sensor, to look at a payload, to understand what's happening, and to give real life impact. For example, I mean, you see the library right there. It's kind of part of my job, but also in my free time, I, for example, compare level sensors. That's one of the projects I'm doing locally. Then there's also gateways that are self-reliant on solar power, for example, because they always get advertised with, they work great in the Chinese desert. And then you put them up here in Europe, in Central Europe, and you're like, we don't have that much sun. They're not working as intended.
Right.
So I'm doing a lot of comparisons. And basically, the real-life experience that comes from that side project also fuels my main job, obviously. I hope it fuels the community. At least that's the feedback I've been given. And if somebody else hears this and is like, hey, I have an aspect in IoT that I'm very passionate about, I can only encourage you to share it. Mine is hardware and looking at different devices and comparing them. I'm totally, that is basically the hobby as well.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people like setting up chirp stack modifications or building mesh stack infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of aspects that you can get into. And I think the community itself is great because it's an open standard. And I can adapt a project from somebody else around the globe and put it up here and have it working. And the better explained those projects are and the easier they are to set up, the more there will be IoT in our lives and hopefully improvements. Because in the end, the mission is to have a human habitable planet in a few years, right? So even though we don't have kids, I totally get that there should be a generation after us and we are the ones being responsible for that. So yeah, it's a big thing, actually, not only a hobby.
Yeah, very cool. I like the nerd in every village.
Yeah.
Robert, thanks so much for making the time to come on. Super cool to have you here and to share your story and what you're doing, and inspirational for folks hearing this to maybe take some of their knowledge and inject it back into their local community. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, build great stuff and tell everybody about it. To all the nerds,
love it.
It was a lovely time here, and thank you so much, Nick, for having me.
Heck yeah.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you, the one person in about 100,000 who actually has an interest in how this tiny little slice of the world works. Of course, this isn't just about you and me, it's about everyone in LoRaWAN and how we can work together to make an exceptional thing. LoRaWAN is a dispersed community with little pockets of knowledge all around the world, and most of them don't talk to each other as much as I'd like. So the first and best thing we can do to make this show better is to get more guests on who I don't even know exist. I want to talk to strangers. Strangers who are your friends. Please introduce me to the most rad LoRaWANer you know, or point them my way, or help reach out and give me a name. When it comes to running down LoRaWAN guests, I can track a falcon on a cloudy day. If you can remember metsci.show, you can find me. That's metsci.show. metsci.show. Okay, so sharing knowledge by getting great guests on is the first and by far the most important thing we can do to make this better. The next best thing for the show to do is the usual stuff. Subscribe to the show, give it a review, share it in your corner of the world. Again, that's metsci.show. Finally, if you want to support the show financially, you can do that over at support.metsci.show. You'll see options there for one-time donations if you really like this show, as well as an ongoing subscription option if you think this show is worth supporting for the long term. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, sign up for a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 data credits for free. That's enough to run a sensor for about a year if you're firing every hour. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.